following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Today we're going to talk about battles. We're talking about fights. We're talking about struggles. Very exciting. Sounds like a depressing subject, but hopefully by the end of the service you can look at battles and get through those battles with the help of the Lord. I love a good sporting battle. No one likes to see being down 31 at the half. You want to see a battle where teams are going up against each other, where teams are fighting and you don't know who's going to win, and you're drawn in. And the Super Bowl did a little of that for me. Of course, I want to see Tom Brady get his 100th Super Bowl victory, but he didn't. But it was so cool to see the Eagles, who were like this backup quarterback. No one thought they'd be there, come. And I think it might have been their first Super Bowl win, or first in a long time, or something like that. But it was back and forth. And one team would score, another one. They'd go down to the end of the game. And I think towards the end of the game, like, there was a pass made towards the end zone. And if they would have caught it with 0 seconds left on the clock and got the two-point conversion, it would have went into overtime. And so you were always there wondering what was going to happen. And so they fought back and forth, and that's exciting. But sometimes we have our own battles. Like, if you're married, you got battles. God created man. God created women. Guys, we make sense. Girls have a different point of view. The beautiful thing about it is, guys, there's some things we just don't get. And we think we have all the answers, but we know we don't have all the answers. And our spouse compliments us so much, and they bring insight into some things that we deal with in life. And hopefully, ladies, I don't know if we bring insight, but hopefully we don't mess up too many things for the family. But we can bicker back and forth and have battles because we see things different ways. Guys sees things one way. Girls see, we're created, like, God specifically created our minds to work differently, so we can come together. But sometimes we battle each other. I bet you there's somebody in here that was battling each other on the way to church here, and that's okay. The altar will be open at the end of service. You guys can get that all taken care of. And it seems about the time you finally figure out marriage, like, God gives you kids, and that creates a whole nother battle. And when they're younger, it's fun stuff like, put that down, don't touch that, don't do that, stop yelling, stay there. But I'm learning, as many of you in this room has already learned, like, these little kids become, like, taller than you and, like, sometimes stronger than you, and they become adults even though you think they're still 5 years old. Like, they grow up, and so somehow you've got to train them and get them prepared for adulthood, and that can be a battle. Because guess what? Parents and kids don't always see things the same way. You know, I think we have battles maybe with where you work. I share an office, kind of a wall with one of the most, I want to say annoying, but he plays his music way too loud, our worship pastor, Kerry Buck. And so he'll play this classical music way too loud and just to mess with me, and then comes over and smiles and says, "Do you like that?" But every once in a while, he'll play Phantom of the Opera for me, and it all works out well. And like David said, that it soothes my soul when he plays the harp or whatever. But I want to say today, we're going to have these battles, maybe with its people in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, whatever it is. But I'm going to say the biggest battles you will ever face on this earth will not be with those people. The biggest battles you will ever face on this earth will be internal battles we face with ourselves. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy when it comes to these things. Now, I know there's a couple people in this room that will say, "Nope, I get along with my spouse perfectly, my children are perfect, my job is perfect, and I don't struggle with anything because I rely on the Lord 100% and everything is great." Well, I'm happy there is one or two of you in this room, but for the rest of us, we are going to struggle with things that we were not designed to struggle with. We're going to struggle with things, "Hey, am I good enough? God, can you really forgive all those sins of mine? I'm scared for the future. I don't know what the future may hold, but I'm kind of nervous and I'm scared for the future. I'm worried about my children. Will they love the Lord? I'm wondered about all these different things." And sometimes these things eat us up so much that we just can't get past them. And it's something that God never desired for us to live with. And so these things eat at us. They can make us sick. They can knock us out, and we can be pushed down in life, and we won't fully experience what God had designed for us because we constantly have worry, anxiety, stress. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's getting over forgiveness, receiving or giving forgiveness. It's these little things that maybe the person next to you doesn't even know about, but you've kept to yourself. And it's eating at you. And I want us to look at a story in Joshua chapter 6 that I think gives us some great highlights for how we get through this. You see, it was a unique time in Israel's as a nation. They were just transitioning leadership from Moses to Joshua. They were getting ready to go into the promised land, which had been promised to them before, but they were too afraid 40 years ago. And so for 40 years, they just kind of hung out in the desert, just wandering around. And God fed them with bread and sometimes meat from the sky, and he gave them this, and they just kind of went through, and a generation passed away. And it says that they were now ready to go in the promised land. They said, listen, we're so tired of wandering through the desert. We don't care what is before us. God, we are with you. We are behind you. And it says right before this story that they consecrated themselves. Consecrate is just an act where you say, God, I am completely yours. I am sold out to you. Whatever you want, I am for your service. And so we see they are fully sold out to the Lord. And they're ready for whatever may come their way. And as they begin the process to go into the promised land is occupied by other people. And so they can go on the door and say, excuse me, nation here, God promised this to us, and so we'd like to come in. If you don't mind being out by the end of the day, we'd appreciate that. Most nations were not cool with that. They said, let's fight. We'll fight for it. And what I've realized as believers, as Christians in here, I'm going to have the same outcome in my life that you have in your life. You're going to have the same outcome in your life that this person over here has in their life. When it's all said and done, as believers, we are healed, we are sent to heaven, and we spend eternity with Jesus Christ and fellow believers. But the path we take is all different. Some people's path looks like a golden path, like a yellow brick road, and everything is perfect along the way. Other people looks like it's a valley all the way down, just keeps getting lower and lower and worse. But for the most of us, there'll be some ups, there'll be some downs. Some good times, some bad times. And so although we end up at the same place, the road to that outcome can look awfully different. And so the nation comes to the first city, it's called Jericho. It's not a terribly big city, but it's extremely fortified. It's a place where no one's getting in, no one's getting out, unless the people inside say, you can come in or you can go out. And we see the nation comes up against this place, and God gives them the victory, not to spoil the story for you. By the way, if you're ever looking for good Bible content, like go to a used bookstore or used video store and try to find a VHS tape of like VeggieTales. You can learn so much from the Bible from a tomato and a cucumber. And this was like my go-to thing 10 years ago when they were still making these things. VeggieTales. You learn a lot. All right, so here's the problem. Joshua chapter 6. Let's start off in verses 1 and 2, and we're going to see the problem. Because God's with them, but here's the problem. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said, Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its mighty men of valor. Jericho, tightly fortified city, quite protected. You know, got an artist's rendition of a picture here of what it would have looked like, something for these walls of Jericho that would have been 5, 6, maybe even 8 feet thick all around the city. Not only was it a tall wall, but it would have been built up kind of on a hill, which made it even larger, which made it even more difficult. And so when you have one nation kind of looking down at another one, the ones on the bottom are going to have a difficult time. I imagine Joshua would have thought something like, God, how is this going to work? Like, you said you're giving us the victory, but I see this huge wall. We can't push that over. God, you haven't created airplanes yet, so we can't fly over. We don't have 100-foot ladders to go up and climb, and when we do, they'd throw stuff at us. So, like, no, I don't see. Like you say in verse 2, like, see, this has been given to you. Like, I'd imagine and be like, no, God, I don't see. In fact, I'm a little nervous like how this is going to work. You said you've given us the victory, but I don't understand how. You know, when I think about the city of Jericho, we can kind of line it up with a small portion of our property here. If we were to come out here to Lewis Center on Route 3, and all 40,000 of us got together, and we would march from Lewis Center Route 3 all the way down to our new gravel driveway, which will be paved here in April, Lord willing. Keep praying. And we were to come all the way back through the back part of our property to this tree line, through the back parking spaces, through that little field where the trees are. And if we were to march all the way up to Route 3 and then back down to Lewis Center Route 3, that's about an 8-acre parcel. And it says these double walls would have been around 7 or 8 acres, a total land of Jericho somewhere around 9 or 10 acres. So this is all we're talking about. It's not a huge land. It's not something like the size of Westerville or Sunbury. It's just a small little portion that God says, listen, I have given this to you. But that small little fortified piece of land represented resistance to God. And we know what happens when things get in the way of God. We know that God has the power to speak things into existence, the power to destroy everything in that city. But what God does through this story, he shows himself that I am powerful and I am with you and I will take care of you. Even though Joshua wouldn't understood how this is going to happen, he says probably to himself or probably like, God, I don't understand how this is going to happen, but I remember how you've taken care of us in the past and I believe you'll do so in the future. And so I think we can look at our own lives sometimes and realize that the victory in our lives has already been given to us. Our victory that we need has already been given to us. I'll explain that in a little bit, but here's the deal. If you struggle with anxiety, you're anxious all the time, that is not how God designed us to live as believers. If we live in fear, like a crazy kind of fear, like bad things are going to happen, even though there's no sign of bad things happening, that is a fear that God did not call us to live with. If we're constantly concerned about financial issues, yes, please be wise stewards of your finances, but if it eats you up, worrying about retirement, worrying about if you're going to get through this month, yes, please work hard, please make good decisions, but that's not something we should worry about all the time. If you're worried about your wayward child, your wayward grandchild, and it just eats you up inside, please have concern for that kid, that grandchild. Please have concern, pray for them, but it shouldn't eat you up. And so as we look at today, and maybe there's things that are popping in your mind, that there's stresses or there's things in your life, like I said, that the person next to you doesn't even know about, but it's affecting your life so much. And I want to tell you that God did not design you to live that way, and that victory has already been given to you. It's not a name it and claim it kind of victory. In fact, let me give you a little downer right here. That victory, right? That victory that you have been promised that you will receive, you may not receive it here on earth. The victory over the thing you struggle with, I believe God wants to do a work in your life, but sometimes we don't get past it. But I know the victory will happen when you get to heaven one day. But I believe a loving Father does not want us to stay where we're at. He wants us to receive the victory as soon as possible. Does that victory mean all the problems go away? Absolutely not. Sometimes it means you're okay with not being okay. That means in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these things that are going on, yes, I've got those problems, but those problems don't have me. You can still have joy in the midst of these difficult times. Joy in the midst of these circumstances. You know, we're not fighting against each other. If I was to call Daryl over here and we're starting fighting against each other, I'm not sure who would win. We're both pretty evenly matched. I think he's got a bad hip, so like I would know where to go. Or maybe it's a shoulder or whatever. I'll hit both, whatever. He's military. He'd beat me. I get it. But Ephesians 6:12 tells us something powerful about the Christian life. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It says we wrestle against powers of darkness. There's powers of darkness that want to mess up your life. We wrestle against evil, against spiritual forces. This is going on. These things happen. There are things in our life that want to get a grip in our life and say, you need to fear this. You need to stress out about this. You need to have anxiety over this. You need to realize that you can't be forgiven for what you did 20 years ago. God can't use you. And they get this little grip on our lives and we start to believe it. All of a sudden it takes over our life. And sometimes it debilitates us. Sometimes we struggle so bad that we don't know what to do. It shuts us down and we don't want to be around other people. We start with depression. And it just eats away at us. And as God was preparing this message in my life, I was just amazed at the amount of people that I talked with and counseled with that go through this. See, because I think on a Sunday morning, like we come together, like hopefully you guys showered this morning, you put on some deodorant, some nice cologne, we put our nice jeans on, our dress shirt, and we all look good. But service after service, I've seen people raise their hands and say, "Yes, Scott, that's me. Everything on the outside looks great, but inside I'm hurting. God, inside there's this thing that the enemy's got a hold of, and I want victory in my life." And we're going to talk about receiving that victory today. Rarely do we see what God is doing while we're on the path. You know, when this was first introduced to Joshua, "Hey, this victory is yours," you would have been in the same boat I was in. I would have said, "No, God, I don't see the victory. I don't see how we're pushing these walls over. I don't see any of this stuff." And a lot of times God does this in our life. We don't see God working in our lives day by day. But every once in a while we step back and we look at the last 6 months or the last year and you think, "Oh my goodness, God has really stepped in and done some incredible things. That thing that I thought I really wanted and didn't get, I'm so glad God redirected my path because that wouldn't have been the best thing for me." And so we see that, yes, in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these painful situations, that God still works in us. And yes, it was painful, but when we come out the other side, we're better for it. Not because of the scars, not because of the pain, but we've realized that we have to rely more on God. Can't rely on our paycheck. Can't rely on our health. Can't rely on our friends, because all those things can be gone. But we rely on Jesus Christ. And so Joshua moved forward, says, "Okay, God, you're with us. We have the victory. Let's do it." What I love about Joshua, you don't have the plan. I think faith is kind of not knowing the plan. Like if you knew, "Hey, here's exactly what you're supposed to do, here's the outcome to it, and you're 100% sure it'll work," well, that's not faith. That's easy. That's how I want to live. That's fun. But you know what faith is? Faith is, on the other hand, like, "God, I know you've called me to do this. God, I know this is for sure what you want me to do, but it doesn't quite make sense yet. And I'm not 100% sure it's going to work out in my benefit." But we start with the foundation. We say, "God, you called me to do this, so here I go." And that's what faith is when it doesn't make sense. You know, many areas we talk about, you know, serving. "I don't have time to serve. Doesn't make sense for me to sign up to serve. But God, I know you've called me to serve." And so you find a step, take forward, and serve. Giving. I hate talking about finances. God's calling you to give. "I don't have any money to give. There's nothing at the end of the month." We'll give it at the beginning of the month and then don't go out to eat at the end of the month. I don't know. But you know God's called you to do that. It doesn't make sense. You're not sure how it's going to work out. But you take that leap of faith anyway. You see, we're not called to live a Christian life where we're scared, hurting, or confused all the time. We're called to live the Christian life where, yes, difficult things happen in our life, but 1 Peter 5:7 rings true in our life where it says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And one of the people I talked to with this past week says, "Pastor Scott, I need to talk. Like, I remember 10 years ago this happened. I gave it to the Lord and I've been forgiven, but it keeps coming back in my life. It keeps coming back and I'm struggling with it. And I don't understand why I'm struggling with it if I've already cast my cares upon him." I said, "Buddy, it's very simple. You cast the cares upon him and then you took them back upon yourself." And so let me help you read this verse the way I think you should be living it. Cast your cares upon him. Recast your cares upon him. And recast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And so sometimes we get forgiveness from the Lord. We're right with him, but we bring this thing back in our life. We allow this little stronghold back in our life. And I'm saying when that happens, we have to recast those back on the Lord. Heard this illustration given about, you know, when someone comes to your house. You know, you get a knock on the door. And someone comes to the door. You look and see it's one of your friends. So you invite them in. You say, hey, have a cup of coffee. If you're from down south, hey, come have a glass of sweet tea and let's talk. But if someone else knocks at your door and they're selling vacuum cleaners, nothing against you if you sell vacuum cleaners. That's great. I'm not answering the door. You're not coming into my house. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm sure your vacuum cleaner is great. I can use a new one, but ours is good. I don't need it. Same thing when the enemy throws things our way. You don't answer the door for those. The temptation comes to remind things of the past, remind things you should stress, fear, have anxiety about. You shut that door. You say, you can't have a stronghold in my life. You can't have a piece of my life. You can't come in and make me go crazy over these thoughts. You can't have that. And not only do we push those things out of our life, but we bring other things in our life. That's one of the greatest things we're doing with reading through the New Testament in 90 days. If you haven't started it, you're only about halfway behind. But you can start your own 90 days. We're in Romans chapter 4 through 6 today. 3 chapters a day. Is it magical or anything that happens when you read your Bible? I mean, God can speak to you. I can look back as I've gone through the 90 days here. I can't say there was one specific day where God just rained down fire from heaven and spoke to me. But I can say I got a little bit today. I got a little bit yesterday. I got a little bit the day before. And guess what? We're about 30, 40 days in. It's become a habit. So whether it's on my phone, my church Bible, my home Bible, because my church Bible has been lost so many times, my church Bible doesn't leave my office. So we have different spots from our different Bibles. But you're pushing things out and you're bringing things in. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't started this 90-day program, go to the Welcome Center later. Grab it and start it. You know, this, I'm so, I hate to say like name it and claim it. Because your victory is yours. It may not have been received yet. We know that the victory was given to the nation of Israel, but they didn't receive it for about a week later. And I'm not saying you can claim victory in your life and then everything is okay. Like, it's not like you can claim, like, God wants me to have a boat and I'm going to get a boat, and then all of a sudden you get a boat and God says, no, you can't have that boat because I know where you would be on Sunday mornings. And I'm not going to give that to you. First of all, there's nothing wrong with a boat. If you have a boat, like, that's great. I like to go out on boats. Give me a call. Like, we'll go out on your boat. It's wonderful. You can go out on boats on Sunday mornings. Come to church Saturday night. Like, it's great. There's nothing like that. But I don't believe this is a name it and claim it. I believe this is a natural way that God treats his children, and he wants his children to receive victory. So the plan for victory. We have the problem. Now we have a plan. The plan for victory. What's the plan for victory? The plan will be to destroy the city. You know, if I were working through a plan to destroy a city, I might have just secretly built a volcano underneath the city and allow it to erupt. Volcano all over, problem solved. Maybe an earthquake. Just let the walls fall in and boom, we're good. In fact, I think if I was like the creator who spoke things into existence, I would make something up. Like, there's crazy little bees that have like eyes that spit out fire and they just come in and they destroy everything from the city. Like, it could have been a fun thing. But God said, no, I'm not going to leave it up to coincidence or understanding that maybe it was an act of nature that took this out. I want people to understand that, one, it was me, only God, and two, that I'm with the nation of Israel. I'm with them. They're my people. I'm going to take care of them. And so we see verses 3 through 5, the plan of what's going to happen. The plan for victory. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, you will hear the sound of the trumpet. Then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. March around the city. once for 6 days. You know, I'm thinking if we were to start, like I said, our path, Lewis Center Route 3, and let's say 40,000 of us walked around this, it'd probably take us maybe 10, 15 minutes for one person to walk around. Let's double that. Let's triple that. Let's say, hey, it took an hour for everyone to walk around the city one time. I imagine as we're walking around the city, maybe you would have said something like this, like, hey, Jim, I'm not really sure this is going to work. Like, we're just supposed to, like, walk around the city here and then shout in his wallet. Like, what's God all doing here? Like, hey, Mike, like, we're kind of close to the city walls here. What if they start throwing stuff at us? We don't have anything. We're just walking. We're going to shout them down? Like, what's the plan here? Like, and for 6 days, they would think about what's going to happen. For 6 days, they would contemplate, what if? For 6 days, they're thinking, this is weird. How is this going to work? But what I think God did for them was a gift. You see, for 40 years when they're roaming around in the wilderness, the stories they heard were of God's goodness before them. The 10 plagues, oh man, you should have seen these frogs. They were everywhere. It's just crazy. I've never seen so many frogs in my life. Like, God just did something crazy. It was awesome. The water all turned to blood. Like, they couldn't drink it. It was all blood. I don't know where the blood came from. So they heard all these stories. And yes, they experienced a little bit about the Jordan. But right now, they're going to move from all these stories of God's goodness to experience God's goodness in their life. And see God do something supernaturally in their life that they just can't explain. Only God can knock over these walls. You know, I think when we understand the relationship we should have with God, it makes a difference how we see him. Too many times we think of God just standing up there waiting for us to mess up. And as soon as we mess up, I told you so. Here's your punishment. Instead of seeing a loving father saying, listen, I love you. I can't allow you to do that. I do have to discipline you. I do have to redirect you. I do have to send conviction through the Holy Spirit upon you for what you're doing. Let me just take a side note, parents, or maybe grandparents that are raising kids in this room. Same thing. Can you be that type of father, that type of mother who isn't looking for your child to mess up and say, I told you so, you should have looked at me, you should have listened to me. But can you be that parent that says, you know what, I love you. I don't want to cause pain in your life, but I got to redirect this behavior, and so this discipline isn't fun for me to hand out. You're grounded for the rest of your life, but here's the reason why. It's because I love you. And I think when kids see a loving parent who can discipline and look out for their best interest, I think it may be better for them to understand who God is. I believe through this process, God gave Jericho the opportunity for mercy. Gave them the opportunity to repent. Hey, you're worshiping false gods. You're doing bad things. You're in the way of my plan. You're the resistance to my plan. You have 6 days to vacate the city. 6 days to give it up. And of course, no nation would really do that. Of course, Jericho didn't do it. But we see this plan is something different. It's not a missile that's being shot in. There's not a catapult that they're throwing things in. It's nothing like that. It's just going to be a big shout. And I think my son would believe something like this. You see, about a month ago, my loving son was in the house while we're in the driveway waiting for him. And after a couple minutes, I get frustrated with him, and I lovingly just lay on my horn so he would notice the importance to come out with the rest of the family. So after a couple minutes, he still doesn't come out. So I walk into the house, and I say, Caleb, what's going on? And I see him with the broom and a dustpan cleaning up all this rice that has spilled on the ground. I said, what happened, buddy? He goes, well, I was getting ready, but as soon as you blew that horn, those sound waves came in the house and knocked over this box of rice. The problem is, I don't think that was an excuse. I think he really thought that. So pray for me. Only God. Only God. This situation was set up in Joshua 6 to prove that only God could do this. And so before I talked about some of these internal battles that have happened in our lives and we all struggle with, except for like two people in this room, we all have struggled with this from time to time. The anxiety, the stress, the depression. the fear, the forgiveness, all these different things that we struggle with. And when we break through in this, it's going to be something that only God can do. Because we can feel happy, we can go out to dinner, and we can go out and do something that kind of fills our void, but when we get back, we're still going to have those same issues. But only God can come in our lives and do something. And if we truly believe that God wants us to have this victory, that God is giving us this victory, then the three steps we do, here's real quick, three steps of how we receive this victory. First step is to trust God. Trust God. God, I believe you are who you said you are. God, I believe you'll do what you said you will do. God, I believe you want me to have victory in my life over these things, so I trust you. Step number two, cast those cares upon Christ. 1 Peter 5:7, cast those cares upon Christ. Give those problems to him. Say, God, I'm not right, there's something wrong, but I want to give these stresses and everything I have to you. And I would never advise shouting, like, God, you need to do this, or God, you put me in this position, or God, if it wasn't for this person you gave me, I would have had this. I would never suggest shouting like that to the Lord. But there's times in my life where I've shouted to the Lord, help! Like, God, I need you. I'm scared. There's stuff I can't deal with. That's when God's close to us. That's when we can feel the presence of God. It's those times where we're broken, we're empty. God says, great. This is exactly where I want you. Because now you're going to hear from me. And we experience that healing from him. It doesn't mean that everything's okay, but it means you can be okay with not having everything okay. Simply step three, repeat step two as needed. Repeat step two as needed. Because we're going to take some of those cares back upon ourselves and stress about them, and it's going to eat us up. I think this plan for victory was to show that God was in control. Could God have spoken that city into destruction just like that? Absolutely. Could God have done this all in one day? Absolutely. But this shows that he was in control. It shows that it was God working through the nation. Listen, God works in us through the process. I believe we learn stuff about God through Bible stories. We learn stuff about God through other books. But we learn so much more about God when we go through the process. And so maybe you've been through a process of pain where you needed healing. You've heard about healing before, but when you get healed spiritually, that process, you learn so much more. Because someone can preach about it, someone can tell a story about that, and that means a little bit, and that's good. But when you've experienced it in your own life, you know what they're talking about. You understand God more. So God teaches us more in the process than we can ever learn on our own. You know, sometimes it may feel like God's not working in our life. God, why are you putting me in this difficult situation? God, why did that person who I love do what they did to me? God, why are the finances so tight at our house? God, why won't this child follow the Lord? God, why won't you provide this? God, why won't you this? And sometimes we go through these situations, not that God necessarily puts them in our lives, but we go through them and God teaches us stuff. You know, I'm reminded of towards Christmas time, I was painting my basement. I was putting some new paint on the walls there. And I was bored. I knew it was going to be a long project and take some time. So I got this thing, a book on CD. And this may, like, change my life because you don't have to read books anymore. Like, you can just pop in a CD player, even download it, and, like, someone will read a book to you. It's awesome. It's awesome. So as I was painting, I'm listening to this book. It's called Shoe Dogs. It's by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And so what I learned is the first 10 to 15 years of Nike, they should have been bankrupted probably about 30 different times. They had no business ever being a profitable company. But during the time, the CEO, Phil Knight, who created this, had to step back and say, I'm not taking a paycheck from Nike. I need to go get a different job to pay for my expenses as I try to push this company. So what he sees is a huge setback. He's working over here as an accountant at some other firm on, you know, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And then after hours and weekend, he's going to support his real dream of Nike to make this business better. And as he works over here for 6 months a year, maybe 2 years, he's learning skills about accounting, learning about the importance of cash flow, learning the importance about balancing budgets, learning so much stuff about here. And so what he saw as a negative, as a setback in his life, was actually used for a positive. So when he quit that job and he came back to Nike, it's good when you have a CEO who understands how to balance things out. It's good when you have a CEO that understands accounting, which he understands the importance of cash flow. And what seemed like a negative thing in his life at the time became one of the most positive things in his life and for his business. Here's what I'm saying. You may feel like you're just walking around. You may feel like God is not working in your life. I'm going to say that if you need that victory, if you need things to work out for you, keep walking until those walls in your life fall down. Keep walking. I don't know if it's a day, if it's an hour, if it's a month, it's a year. But keep walking for the Lord until that victory is given to you. You know, we see the results of what the obedience happened when God told his people to do this, march around the city one time for 6 days. And on the seventh time, go around the city. Take the ark with you. You know what the ark is symbolic of? Of God himself. It says God is going to go before you. God is going to take this battle. God is going to win this battle for you. And I think there's great encouragement and counseling. If you are struggling with something, get some counseling. Come to one of the pastors. If that doesn't work out, get some professional counseling. But that only supplements what God is going to do in your life. That's a secondary thing. We go behind the ark. We go behind God and say, God, give this victory to me in my life so that I can experience this healing. And here's the results. We see the results in chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the walls fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. They devoted all the city to the destruction, both men, women, young, old, oxen, sheep, donkeys, with the edge of the sword. The road to the promised land. We see Jericho as one of the oldest cities in the world. And we see as they try to dig up the city and see what was there, archaeologists come and they see there was a city with these huge brick walls that all of a sudden crumbled down. They see a city where it was not plundered, which is interesting because most of the time when another nation would come in and destroy another city, they would take all the best things out of it. They would take the strong people and make them their servants. But everything was left there. I just think that's kind of cool when you see extra things outside of the Bible that prove the Bible to be true. No evidence of plundering. Put to death every living thing within the city. You know, I don't know why God called them to do it. Maybe it was punishment for how they worship false gods. But I think more likely is maybe it was protecting the nation of Israel. It says, I don't want any of that idolatry. I don't want any of that apostasy to come into your life. And so destroy everything in that city. Keep everything away. I wonder maybe if you've experienced that in your life. Experienced that in your life. I remember for me, when I was back in Michigan, and maybe you've enjoyed this whole sermon until I said I'm from Michigan, and now you're not going to hear me the rest of the time, whatever. But I was working at a church, and there was a church about 10 miles down the road that I really, really wanted a job at. And I went there and I interviewed with the pastor and he said, listen, you're not from one of our colleges that we generally get people from, so you're probably not going to get this job. And I heard, wah, 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 I'm going to get the job. And so I was excited. And as the process took several months, I met some people that were associated with this church and I thought it was a sign from God. I go through the process and I made the first cut. I go through the process and it comes down to me and one other person. And although I sat down with the senior pastor for breakfast one day, got excited about something, and spilt my drink all over him, I thought I was still getting the job. And he says, we're going to call you on Friday. Well, he emailed me on Friday and said, Scott, we're still thinking about it. I'll let you know on Monday. I said, this is great. It's just so hard to tell that other guy no. Like, that's okay. Aim, this is where we're going. Monday rolls around, and I get the phone call. It says, hey, you're great. We like you, but you're not the person. And I thought to myself, what? God showed me all these signs. I met somebody from your church. Like, I just felt like I knew this was something that was going to happen, and it wasn't. And I look at that job, and I think, what if I would have got what I wanted? It wouldn't have worked out for me. You see, a couple weeks later, this crazy man, Frank Carl, calls me on the phone and says, this is the IRS, and we'd like to audit you for the past 4 years. A week later, I'm here teaching in the youth group. The next day, we're out looking at houses in 6 inches of snow, not knowing if I've been offered a job or not. You see, what I thought I really wanted, God smacked my hand and said, no, that's good. I got something better for you. I got something better. You're going to go to Columbus, Ohio. Your kid's going to become a Buckeye fan. Wait, that's the first clap I got today. It was the way it's worked out for our family. We were talking about this last night. My wife was praying for a Christian school. We were in Lincoln Park, Michigan, just border of Detroit, probably one of the worst school districts there in Michigan. My child's 2. My wife's praying for Christian school. And I'm laughing. I'm like, babe, you're just homeschooling. Like, we can't afford anything. Like, I'm making $24,000 a year, and we're living off this with a family of 3, soon to be 4. God provided for us. He gave us a car. It was an 89 hatchback Escort. Like, you know, it wasn't great, but God provided for us. And to see that doesn't work out for us in Michigan, and we get here, we interview, I think I had the job, and then I find out, oh yeah, there's a Christian school here too. So much better. God works things out so much better. There was a little bit of pain in the meantime, not getting the job I thought I wanted, thought I desired, but God had something so much better for me. God wants us to experience victory. God has different paths for us. He wants us to experience this victory. Whether here on earth or one day in heaven, this is a victory that we need to receive.